Hello, and welcome to another night of Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio. I'm Michelle Hager, I'm managing partner of Blue Cirrus Consulting, and our second guest tonight, who I'm honored to have on, is Christine Pillsbury. She's the head of information technology at Monadnock Community Hospital in New Hampshire, and I appreciate you joining.
Thanks, Michelle. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. So one of the things that we've been talking about, and we love to share information about healthcare and telehealth in this forum on the radio show. Tell us a little bit about Monadnock Community Hospital, your community that you serve, and why a critical access hospital like Monadnock is important to your community.
Well, thanks, Michelle. It's something that I'm very passionate about. You'll hear that it probably in my language and my tone. But Monadnock Hospital is a critical access hospital. It's a 25-bed community hospital, not-for-profit. We're located in the Monadnock region of southern New Hampshire, but in a rural community. It's something that being a critical access hospital is very important to our community. Having these healthcare services that Monadnock Hospital provides, a 24 by 7 emergency department, we have a med-surg unit and obstetrics, which is very unusual for a critical access hospital. But we actually have a very large primary care network of clinicians, nurse practitioners, physicians, physician assistants, psychiatrists, and social workers that kind of make up our primary care network, and also supporting a service area about maybe 40,000 for primary service area and about 80,000 for a secondary service area. So we're a very close-knit community. And Monadnock Hospital is actually well supported by our community. It's that topic of conversation when I'm out in my community, and people know that I work at Monadnock Hospital because I've been here for 27 years. Funny story is, I actually was born here.
Oh
So
my gosh.
I actually have a lot of history, and you can see I've had many jobs here, but yeah, very, very passionate. And in the community, everybody wants to know when they see me what's going on in the hospital. So I feel like I'm that ambassador, kind of other duties as assigned, when I get to talk about the great services that we provide, the innovative technologies that we're bringing in. Not just for healthcare, but for, the technology. And we're going to talk about that probably, but
Yeah.
just really giving them a sense of reassurance that I know healthcare is changing, and they're very concerned about, a critical access hospital maintaining our status in our community and not leaving the community. They rely on us. So it's really great to talk about that with our community partners.
Absolutely. I think I read recently in an article that said folks that are in rural areas like you and Monadnock, they rural population, they actually use those rural facilities for healthcare something like 90% of the time. So the majority of their healthcare is at a rural facility like a Monadnock Community Hospital. And as I heard or was reading you, this is your 100th year anniversary at the organization.
I know how exciting to be able to participate in the celebration of 100 years. Thanks to Robert Parmalee, who donated his summer home. This actually was a summer home
Wow.
in Peterborough from Mr. Parmalee, and became a hospital back in 1923. So we're going to be celebrating for the whole weekend, although we're already starting the parties now. But June 2nd, that weekend for employees, for physicians, we're bringing back retirees, former CEOs, dignitaries. I mean, this is a big deal for Monadnock Hospital. So if anyone's looking for something fun to do for some community networking and celebration, the weekend of June 2nd is going to be pretty spectacular in Peterborough, up on the hill.
Peterborough is the place to be on June 2nd.
That's right.
So the work that you and I have done together that brought even us together over the years is around the telehealth work that you do. And tell us, how is that going? What have you been doing? And what's the status?
Yeah, let me talk about telehealth, because it was just kind of a something in the background 3 years ago, and it really wasn't until COVID, Michelle, that telehealth became a hot topic. And they talk about being nimble in IT. Well, when COVID kind of took off and we had no other choice, but how are we going to care for our patients? Because we didn't know a lot about COVID and what it could do, but we knew we still had to take care of our patients. So talk about quickly activating and deploying a technology. We had some of the technology, but we didn't have the full infrastructure for telehealth to really make it as robust. And I think that's really where Blue Cirrus and you and your partners came in to help us. And I think that's important for a critical access hospital. We do a lot of things really well, but we can't do everything well. And it's right. Okay to call on those resources that could help us. And I think that's where Blue Cirrus came in and offered some support to help us, build that infrastructure and get it off the ground. And how do we creatively support telehealth? Because it's different for a mom with, young children than it is with, in the aging population or, a patient, a behavioral health patient. So boy, I'm very proud of the telehealth work we did. And has it evolved? It's gotten better. We learned, from our mistakes, it's gotten better, but it's changed, since, maybe the last 6 months or last year. And it's changed not just for our patients, but for our providers and our clinicians, rather than, doing it every day. Now we have maybe designated times that we specify for telehealth, which actually has increased our work-life balance for some of our clinicians too, because you could do telehealth almost, not everywhere, but almost anywhere. So it evolved. And I think that's a great lesson learned white paper someday if I get any spare time to sit down and really write our story.
Yeah, definitely. And it helps the physicians to be able to have that work-life balance that you were mm-hmm. describing. It mm-hmm. helps you retain those clinicians. Mm-hmm. They're able to work from home. And we've talked about that a lot on this on this radio show. So these innovations and how they can mm-hmm. help you really with capacity planning across the organization. Because we know healthcare shortages, we've talked about that. And we talked about that with our first guest, these physician shortages and nursing shortages. They're really, really no joke. Not only because we are graduating some people from nursing school and medical school, but too many are retiring or leaving the profession entirely just because of the kind of great resignation post COVID. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that's created a changing landscape. Right? We've got everything, all these different types of innovations that are trying to happen to help to make healthcare more efficient and to help the clinicians be able to work more efficiently. And this type of changing landscape is directly related to the innovation that comes out of the IT department. So I know you've been dealing with this and how that you keep up with the latest and greatest and how do you manage the staffing around that, because not every expert is going to live in Peterborough, New Hampshire.
No, I mean, the whole staffing conversation, retention and recruitment, I think I spend probably, I make it an effort to spend 50% of my time just on staffing and recruitment and maintaining the staff that I have here with an IT. So it's not a secret. There's not a lot of 20 somethings that want to come live in Peterborough, that it's not the Boston, New York or LA of the world, but we do offer maybe a different variety, different lifestyle. But what we can offer is hybrid. I use the word hybrid and getting creative. But for staffing, we had some significant challenges during COVID, and we lost, 50% of the IT staff for various reasons. And that's a huge turnover when, the average tenure here with an IT was like 20 years. I have a lot of us long timers, but we also had some significant turnover. And at a point, I have to support the organization, the infrastructure, and I can't continue to work the hours that we were working. Right. It was exhausting. So we actually explored it, never in the history of Monadnock Hospital IT, but outsourcing, outsourcing IT. That gets scary. People don't like that term. So rather than using the word outsource, I called it staff augmentation, because I'm still here. I still get paid by Monadnock Hospital, but we partnered with an organization called Altera to bring in some that high-level skilled resources that we couldn't recruit in Peterborough, and we augmented it with the staff that we have here. So there are some embedded in our staff are Altera employees, a high-level security analyst, IT security, something that keeps me up at night, and it certainly should keep many of you up at night. Yeah. Senior-level engineer skills that, again, that you'd see in Boston or that you would see in New York, and then also just general managed services, you know, leadership that to help with strategy, to help supplement, because I'm wearing so many hats, but also a lot of global resources, things that can be done automated or just routinely that are being done in India. So that way it can focus the team that's here, we call it that tribal knowledge, the resident experts, and allow us with the history of Mananak Hospital and IT infrastructure to do the work that we know how to do every day without the mundane day-to-day tasks. So we're in year number 1.5 of this relationship. It's a 3-year partnership. And it was a little bumpy at first because, Michelle, we're dealing with some new cultures that Mananak hasn't had. And, you know, if anything, I could share, I guess, the silver lining of this experience. It was challenging. We had to accept change and embrace new cultures, and the manager of service delivery for this initiative actually relocated from India. He came here with his family, his daughter, his 7-year-old daughter. Wow. And I had the privilege of integrating him, not just into Mananak Hospital, into our infrastructure, to our policies and procedures, but into our community. And I embraced this experience by going to the local schools, the elementary school, and teaching them how to enroll somebody into our school systems, going to the town office and how to register a car. That sounds something that you and I take for granted, but when you're from another country and in an automobile and car insurance and grocery shopping, and also integrating him into our, you know, MCH family by, you know, different foods in our cafeteria. So if anything, you know, the change of bringing in, you know, outside resources and managed services, it has really enhanced our internal relationships and acceptance. So when you talk about equity, diversity, inclusion, and belonging, this is a model that I would love to share with others. And I didn't read a book. I didn't, you know, read something online. It's something that just aligns with our core values, maybe at the way I was raised, but our values here at Mananak Hospital is compassion, collaboration, honesty, and respect. Yeah. And it's easy to see that in a sign when you walk into an organization, but this is how we live it every day. And it's not just me. It's my colleagues that embrace this culture, diversity. And I'm so proud and so excited that Friday evening, we all went bowling as a family to celebrate. Advika is the 7-year-old for her birthday and has never really done candlepin bowling. And we had pizza and a bunch of 7-year-olds running around. So that's just, and when I say Mananak Hospital is special, that's an example of, you know, we live by our mission, and that's being committed to improving the health and well-being of our community. And I'm a member of our community. I'm a patient here. My kids were born here. So sure, I run the IT show on a day-to-day basis, but it's more than that. And if anything, I hope, you know, others feel that same way when you go to work every day. And that's what makes Mananak special.
You told that story so beautifully, and it's real life, right? For those mm-hmm. of you that, for those listening and may be aware, but in rural areas, and I think particularly in Peterborough and the Mananak, you do have that sort of connectiveness and your mm-hmm. acceptance of folks that are coming in there and creating that connectiveness across mm-hmm. your organization. Because it's not unusual, right, for folks to have lived and worked and be born at the same hospital their whole careers. It's usually a large employer in the town. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people have either worked at the hospital or have worked at some point. Mm-hmm. So those are all really important and such a special opportunity to be able to shepherd somebody from another country and teach them about the cultural differences and vice versa, right? I'm sure you
Oh, absolutely. A lot. I'm learning so much, the food, the traditions. And, you know, I truly believe that there was a reason that Rohan and his family were brought into our organization, but into my life, you know, as an empty nester and, you know, at the second phase of my career, and to be able to nurture this relationship and also teach, you know, others in our organization on, you know, the golden rule is, you know, just being kind to each other, and kindness goes a long way. And working in healthcare, it hasn't been a lot of fun. We talk about burnout. We talk about staff turnover. I don't know anybody that's fully staffed right now, but boy, when you can do it with kindness and camaraderie and compassion, I know that sounds a little Pollyanna, and we have our tough days, but boy, you change that, and then living by gratitude. And I think our patients feel it when they're coming into our environment, and healthcare is scary. Hospitals can be scary. And having that true caregiver that has that compassion and, you know, excitedness to come to work, they feel it. And I'm proud to say this year's employee giving campaign hit record percentages. Over 50% of employees donated to the employee given campaign. Wow. That's, and our goal was maybe 30%, which is still very high. And right. It doesn't matter about the dollar size, it's the intent. And if anything, that's something else that makes Monadnock Hospital special.
Yeah, the level of participation in your mission and vision is so important. Yeah. And I'll tell you a personal story, living overseas myself. I would have loved to have had someone tell me in the UK where I lived, you have to have a TV tax. And if you don't pay your TV tax, then your TV gets turned off. And I had no idea. Yeah. No one told me there was a TV tax. So one day my TV got turned off. So I would have appreciated someone to help me understand the differences and shepherd me through.
Yeah.
With this type of, you know, new and different way of working, and obviously with the type of organization that Monadnock is, you know, leadership is so important, making sure that, you know, your employees stay engaged, as you were referencing, and spending time with them, hearing their challenges, making sure you can find solutions for them. But being a good leader, integrating with the other leaders inside the organization, what are your tips for people? What is your approach to leadership? And what are your tips to people around being a leader, or you know, new and different ways of thinking about that?
Sure. What I found most helpful is, because of the hybrid remote environment, is how do we stay connected to those that are working remote? And because they're a member of our team, whether they're on-prem, you know, on campus or remote. And I didn't have the answers. I had to get creative. And sometimes engaging those that are working on campus, there was a little bit of resentment because I had to come to work every day while you get to, you know, you get to sit at home. But trust me, I'd rather be in the office, much easier than I'd be at home. But so understanding and bridging that gap, because that's a change, and those feelings, acknowledging those feelings. But how do we connect those that work remote? And, you know, Zoom is a great tool, but there's nothing better than a personal phone call. So I do a lot of Zoom, but I'll also pick up the phone and reach out to those individuals that are working remote. But also when I am here, a lot of rounding. So sure, I work long days, but it's so important that not only do I round and just check in, hey, Jackie, you must be getting excited about your trip that's coming up, and to see her joy talking about an upcoming trip. Or, and granted, we're a small community, so I went to high school with a lot of these leaders, true story. And then also, again, members and involved in the community. So I do know them, but I took the time to get to know them. So rounding is important, and not just in IT, I round in the organization. So it's not unusual that on a Friday evening, to just walk to one of our patient care areas and check in. I'm doing two things. A, how is IT going? Do you have some challenges? But also, how are things going for you outside of, you know, IT? And I might hear some feedback about frustration with, a different department or maybe a new policy or just general information that I manage up to my leadership and says, hey, I was walking through, you know, lab the other day and you know what? There's some concerns that I think we should focus on and just kind of being that ambassador internally and that resource that staff feel comfortable sharing, their concerns. And trust me, our physicians are not shy when they see me coming through the ED to talk about the EHR and all the improvements they want to see about clicks. But on seriousness, rounding and then also just being present. I don't ask my staff to do something that I'm not willing to do. So those late night upgrades, it's us. And sure, have my team seen me, you know, in my comfy clothes and maybe a ponytail? They have to. Yeah. I'm real. So I think that's important. And that just aligns with servant leadership. And if anything, it's about servant leadership and just serving my team and others. And they care about me. They worry when I'm not here. If, you know, I'm not here for a few days and they miss me and I miss them. And yeah. I don't know, that's something that you don't get in a textbook, you know, on leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to stay on top of everything in the IT industry, as well as, you know, as being a good communicator with mm-hmm. the folks that are on your team, because they're mm-hmm. humans, right? Where people tend to think, oh, in IT, we've got it all programmed out and everything's just press a button. That isn't what's happening. People are operating that behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the things that you've been proud of is being a mentor to some of the folks that are on your team, in particular, your telehealth leader. So can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Sure. You can't see my smile, but I instantly grinned because, mentorship is critical to developing the new and up and coming leaders. And I always call it kind of succession planning and who's the next Christine. And I had an opportunity to participate as a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, various conferences. And I met this young woman who was in a school program at the University of New Hampshire, and they were presenting, the students were presenting some of their work in healthcare policy and management. And I started talking with her and she had some great questions. And, you know, that was several years ago, and gave her some pointers and didn't really know much about her other than she had a lot of an energy, enthusiasm. And then 2 years later, I saw her again at a similar function and we started talking, and it's such a small world. We were in Vermont and started talking. The CEO and I were talking with her. Come to find out, she actually lives in the same community that I live in. Her sister went to high school with my son and she knew all about us. And she was graduating and was going to be looking for, you know, a job, you know, come in the fall. And, you know, of course, we hand out business cards. And I said, you know, look me up. And a year later, she's sitting right next to me. And in the next office over, there was an opportunity for a telehealth coordinator position. She did not have the experience, but she had the foundation and the credentials and the enthusiasm and alignment with our mission that I did go to HR and I asked them to make an exception because I'm a rule breaker, and asked them to please reconsider because she didn't meet the minimum requirements, but she had the foundation and I lobbied for her. And it was one of the best hiring decisions that I've made. She has taken the program, enhanced it. She's challenged me. She is very passionate about patient care. Coming from an IT environment is always putting the patients first. And that is priceless. So, my those that have, you know, some strict age departments, and I mean, we don't want to break the law, but we got to be nimble, and what a blessing. And how lucky are we to have Saffron Duffy as our telehealth coordinator and other duties as assigned leader. Well,
Saffron is so lucky to work with you. And I know that she appreciates that too, but being a mentor is super important in this industry. And for those that may be listening, if you have the ability to be a mentor or to act as a mentor to somebody, even if it's not formal, I think it's always important. And I'll put in my plug for women to be mentors as well. I think it's so important as a woman that owns a business, that I be a mentor to other people that are trying to own their own business and start their own businesses, especially for women. in the industry. But I do think that, you know, one of the key needs in the healthcare industry around, you know, the work that you've done is in this leadership space is having humility, having a vision about healthcare, being a mentor to people. You know, obviously the integrity that comes along with working in the healthcare space and being able to collaborate together. This is the type of work that we do in healthcare, and it's never ending, and it's always changing. Everything is changing. We're always trying to find new pieces of technology. And Christine, you've done a great job there at Monadnock. It's been a pleasure to have you here tonight on the show. And I really appreciate you being here to share the story of Monadnock and their 100-year anniversary. So for those of you in Peterborough, June 2nd, go and celebrate with the hospital staff and the community of Peterborough, New Hampshire, and also to share your story of integrating cultural differences and making sure that there's diversity and also compassion around that. So thank you for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
It was a pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being on Blue Cirrus Radio. We'll be right back with our next guest.